Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have made. And we thank you, Father, that you have called us together to come into your presence and to sing your praises, that we, with thanksgiving on our hearts, may enter those gates of righteousness, not presumptively, not because of our desire to come before you, but because you have called us. Because you have called us out of our daily tasks, out of our lives, from wherever we've been this past week, up or down, full of joy or struggling, you have called us to gather and to know that each one of us are here because of you. And what an amazing testimony it is, Father, to your wonderful grace and work within us. And so we also thank you that as we come before you this morning, yes, we come in humility as those who have examined ourselves, that we truly may say that you have chastened us. For Father, we know your word and we know your decrees and we know your law and what they demand of us and how we can never be perfect before you. But in so many different ways, in our actions, in our words, and even in our hearts and in our thoughts, we break your law, we go against your commandments, and we do not give you thanks. But Father, we therefore also thank you that we may come before you and hear that wonderful greeting of grace and peace. But as we come before you, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, in whom our sins have been forgiven, in whom we have been washed and cleansed, and with whom we now have peace with you, so that we may enjoy the fullness of joy and of calm and of rest as we draw near to you. And would you bless us with that also then this morning? Father, especially if it's been a difficult week, especially if we come with also turmoil in our hearts, may we find that rest in you. And in that wonderful gospel message. And so, Father, as we humble ourselves, as we seek our salvation in Christ alone, now also continue to work in our hearts this morning. As we turn to your word, would you give us with that your spirit to fill us with thanks, that we may live for you that life of service, fleeing sin and turning to you. And we ask you all of this in Christ's name alone. Amen. This morning, all of you also hear this wonderful assurance with which the form for the Lord's Supper then continues. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those who are without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ, and in doing so, we acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We also are aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We do not have perfect faith, and we do not serve God with such zeal as he requires. Daily, we have to contend with the weakness of our faith and with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings and desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Therefore, we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. This morning, we'll turn to God's word as we have been in the last couple of weeks, looking once again to Ephesians chapter 5. The focus will be verse 20 this morning, but in connection with that, we'll read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Those verses are all part of that theme of living wisely, that new life that we have before the Lord. And last week, we looked at how being filled by the Spirit then bears fruit in speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And this morning we'll look at the fact how it bears fruit in always giving thanks to God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So Ephesians chapter 5, we'll start reading at verse 15 and read to verse 21. And hear the word of the Lord. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that's the word of God for us this morning. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next fruit of the Spirit that is mentioned in Ephesians 5 is giving thanks. When you give it some thought, could we say this morning that there is maybe nothing more natural, but also nothing more challenging, and also more comforting than that thanksgiving is mentioned as one of those fruit, one of those evidences of a Spirit-filled life? And I think that's exactly it. Natural, challenging, but also wonderfully comforting. And let me explain. First, it is natural because, as we learn in the letter to the Romans, the heart of our idolatry, the heart of our rebellion against God and a turning away from Him can easily be summarized as ingratitude, as a resistance to giving thanks to God. Romans 1 verse 21 says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." There, that verse just reminds me that how by nature we live our lives without a care for our Creator, without acknowledgement of His handiwork, His work in all of our life, and everything that we see around us, and how we have no desire to give Him thanks for His good gifts. It's driving very deep that fact that ingratitude is not just about, oh, I forgot to say thank you, but it itself is that fruit of a rebellious heart that resists to acknowledge God's existence and our dependence on Him. And so it's natural that as the new life of Christ makes itself known in us, that it starts to show itself in thanksgiving. But that's the challenge in these words, isn't it? We say, yes, by nature we are ingrateful, and by nature, yes, we do forget to give thanks. But that's often the case for all of us. And how often don't we find ourselves ungrateful? Maybe not even purposely. We just take things for granted, the one day after the other. We just live our lives functionally, just without any really acknowledgement of God's existence, without really giving thanks for another day and the wonderful gifts that we've received. And when we do acknowledge His hand, how often don't we turn, whether by nature or custom, into incredible complainers and grumblers? Because yes, there's lots to give thanks for, but things haven't also gone as we planned. We may not have received exactly what we thought we deserved. And we still struggle to be happy with our situation. It's natural, it's challenging, but here's also the comfort. But as we challenge ourselves to give thanks to God, as we have that Holy Spirit at work within us, we have the Holy Spirit on our side, transforming us, transforming our hearts, our eyes, our prayers, our desires, so that this morning the challenge isn't simply do better and be more thankful. but to rely on the Holy Spirit as you give thanks to God. And we'll look at that then this morning under that theme, filled by the Spirit to give thanks. Now, it's just one verse that we're looking at this morning, but it says more than just a bare commandment to give thanks. And it's important to consider then that whole verse as it comes together. For if we're serious about giving thanks, this verse supplies us with a when, for what, how, and to whom. As it says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what stands out to all of us likely immediately is that the when and the for what are just these all-inclusive. Always and for everything. Another indication that, yes, this is not going to be the kind of thanksgiving that you can do on your own. This is that supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Because none of us will naturally be thankful at all times and for everything. And it just reminds us or alerts us to the fact that this Thanksgiving is not a common Thanksgiving that comes now and again when things are going well or when it's a beautiful day. But it has to do with something deeper, a new reality, something that can be unchanging, stable, just a habit or a character trait or something like it. And is always there. Something that we strive for to be permanent. But how can be thanksgiving so be so permanent and steady when our life and our moods and the challenges we face just go up and down? Well, this is where the how and to whom have to be part of the answer. For you might have noticed this verse on Thanksgiving is actually wonderfully Trinitarian. How do you think about it? You find the Trinity mentioned together in it. So the Holy Spirit fills us as we give thanks to the Father, and we do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's important and also key to understanding what we're looking at this morning. Because what this does is first put our thanksgiving as part of being, under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. How do we give thanks? We'll do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's much to be said here, but this does a couple of things, and let's just mention two. And as we go through life, thanksgiving is about trusting in His wonderful care. Thanksgiving can be stable and permanent because you recognize that you are permanently belonging to Jesus Christ, under His lordship, under His care, within His house, part of His family. And that allows us to open up our eyes to see that everything that we receive from Him. Just as this morning we may acknowledge that we receive assurances of forgiveness and grace in the bread and the wine, so we can look at all around into every aspect of our life, to the things that we have received and say, I see the lordship of Jesus Christ and His wonderful care and His love. And what strengthens our thanksgiving in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even when maybe you're sitting here this morning and say, I can't really see it this morning. Where is His care? Things are difficult. What you can see in the lordship of Jesus Christ is the kind of Lord He is, because we do know Him and how He has revealed Himself. That He is the servant King. Yes, King, yes, one with incredible power as the Son of God, but that He appears and comes to us in that great, great and amazing humility. As He washes the feet of His disciples, yes, as He even gives Himself up for sinners. He did all of that, yes, even without complaining, without grumbling, but with a constant and deep desire to, love His Father and to love His neighbor, to love sinners like you and me. It's not just where we see His lordship in our lives that we have reason to give thanks, but that we may give thanks because we know what a Lord He is. Now we've come to belong to Him. And as Christ in all of life directed himself to the Father, so he says, you, under my lordship, in my house, direct all of your thanksgiving to the Father. Because he has become a Father for you as well. And what source of joy and of comfort and of assurance in this life that you may have God as your Father. This Trinitarian form of our giving thanks reminds us, if you know the letter to the Ephesians well enough, the letter to the Ephesians starts with one long numbering of one blessing after another, of recounting one spiritual blessing after another from the Father, then the Son, and finally the Holy Spirit. If you read that, and maybe between services, you can just go through it, and a sense of the excitement, the joy, and the richness of what we have received. And that as we receive all of these spiritual blessings in Trinitarian form, so it is returned back to God in thanksgiving. Trinitarian form. Let's expand this morning a little bit in the time that we have in preparation for the celebration of Lord's Supper on maybe what that may look like within our lives and how it does then go deep into every aspect of our life. For Trinitarian thanksgiving will bear fruit in our lives in probably more ways than we can see or imagine, but let's just try to make it concrete this morning in three different ways. First of all, consider how being filled by the Spirit to give Trinitarian thanks will affect your relationship with God. For as we've been trying to do this morning, it opens up your eyes to see just how God is, that overflowing fountain of all good. How his love is enduring from before the creation of the world to the very end, to the redemption that is in store for us. And that his grace is precious as it is bought by the precious blood of our Savior. How his presence within our life is powerful and holy enough to transform us. To even break down hearts that are ungrateful. So that as we consider this, we have, as we looked last week, every reason to sing and make music to the Lord as an act of thanksgiving. But also as we let that take root, it may be that beginning of true trust in the Lord. That the more reasons we see to give him thanks every day, the more we can trust him that tomorrow he'll just do it again. And that as trust increases, the more our prayers can lead to that peace that guards our mind. That peace that transcends understanding. Because as we give thanks, we see the goodness of our Lord. And as we give Trinitarian thanks, we also may have that ever-increasing desire to partake in the supper of our Lord. It's another means that God has given us to give thanks, to remember all that Christ has done, but also to enjoy that fellowship, that Trinitarian fellowship, and relying on the power of the Spirit, giving thanks to Christ to the glory of the Father. But Trinitarian thanksgiving won't just affect our relationship with God. It also transforms our hearts. I'll just focus on one commandment, and it's the 10th. Right? You shall not covet. We know that the 10th commandment gets to the heart of our struggle with our desires, and so our struggle with so many of the other commandments. Because how often do we break God's law because of what we want? We want to be right. We want people to respect us. We want to not be found out. We want pleasure. We ought not to have. And ingratitude and discontent always fan the flames of our desires. Yes, I want that, and I want it so badly. I think I deserve it. But gratitude does the opposite. It teaches us to enjoy what we have. Why? Because it's a wonderful gift. Leading to contentment and to deep joy. It battles our discontent and so challenges those desires that arise from ingratitude. So consider also this morning, as you come to the table, which fire do you find yourself feeding more often? that of discontent and I just want, or of thanksgiving, of thank you, Lord, that I've been given. And it is out of our renewed heart that its enjoyment of God's gifts, that out of that all, a life of service may arise. So that thanksgiving is not just something between us and God, but affects relationship with one another. Because what you are able to do today for your neighbor, that's an opportunity, that is a gift that God has given you. That you may enjoy it and share it and use it, not just for yourself, but to the upbuilding and the benefit of your brother and sister. Just think about it. Maybe kids, this morning, I want you to think, when you share something, what is it usually? What do you tend to share more? Those things that you think you've earned, that you've worked hard for, or those things that you've just been given? Like, I didn't deserve this. So you can share. Let us, as we come to have a deeper understanding of thanksgiving and its fruit of the Spirit within our life, and also be the theme throughout our life that helps us to serve in acts of love for what we've also been given: forgiveness, grace, wisdom, encouragement, and so on. And for let us do us all that, not because we've figured out how to give thanks, or because we just somehow want to return all that we've done to God, or what we've received to God, but because we're filled by the Spirit, who is Himself God's wonderful gift, God in us, for whom we've always may give thanks, and through whom we may give thanks. Amen.